Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Want to let our tier ones know that we've got a couple of tickets to give away for Monday's game against the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll do that this hour. So stay tuned to Ben and Woods. Sometime between now and 8 a.m., we're going to give away two tickets to the Luis Arraez bobblehead game. Last bobblehead giveaway of the season for the first 40,000 fans. You can get your tickets at Padres.com and learn more at Padres.com/giveaways.
They just had this conversation in here, kind of, you know, but it's, this is the time of year for the open-ended questions, right? Like the, what do you, when would you start to really buy in to the San Diego Padres as a potential World Series champion? You know, for me, like, if you go beat the Cubs, you still have a disgusting matchup in the next round, right? It's not an easy path to win a World Series. It's not. And like we said, it's not the NBA. The NBA, the cream usually rises to the top. Baseball, it's really hard to say that, especially based on the wild card, past history.
You're looking at 2 out of 3 in Chicago against the Cubs, and then winning a 5-game series against Milwaukee.
Yep.
And then you would be playing a 7-game series against the Dodgers or Phillies most likely.
Correct. It's a really gnarly path. Do they have the guns to get it? Again, here's your soft media saying, I don't think so. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I would love to be proven wrong.
Well, you've played 3-game series against every National League playoff team so far this year. And I believe you've won at least one game in every one of their ballparks. You won 1 of 3 in Chicago, 1 of 3 in Philly. You won 2 of 3 in Milwaukee. You won a couple games at Dodger Stadium, not many, but you won there. And you won 1 of 3 in New York. So you have the ability to win on the road. You just need to flip one of those two losses into a win in the playoffs. That's what you need to do.
Our pal David J says, I'd start to buy in on this club if they're up 3-0 and have a multi-run lead with 2 outs in the 9th inning of the World Series. That's a tough crowd.
I feel the same way. Why would you buy in?
Why would you buy in? And for me, like I said it off the air too, and Ben made a really good point about this. I said, this season, it hasn't been a grind per se. It hasn't been a grind. I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed a lot of moments. I've enjoyed some pretty good performances. We've had some really cool. Fernando Tatis Jr. has made some highlight reel plays in right field. You know, Manny's hit some tanks. It's been an interesting year. Crony stepped up. You know, we've added some new pieces.
Gavin Sheets has been great.
And so, Laureano, I mean, I'm inspired by some of these guys and some of their performances.
Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, 100%. I've been uninspired by a lot of the performances as well. Dylan Cease, you know, Michael King's last start was pretty rough. But again, he's rehabbing. It's kind of his spring training.
His whole season's been rough.
It's been rough. It's, yeah, weird, funky injuries. Jackson Merrill's, it's been uneven, you know, certainly. So, and I thought, but man, I was both feet in last year. And I think there's PTSD for a lot of fans knowing that switch got flipped last year when, again, everyone was saying, you're winning the World Series. You're going to win this World Series. Get used to it. Get ready. And you didn't. And it really ended in pretty horrible fashion. Of course, you're going to be a little bit reluctant about diving in fully off the pier. And so you made a good point, though. Last year was full of so many magical moments, late inning heroics, comebacks. That stuff, though, helps you believe. But like you said, you needed all of that to kind of get there.
It also masks the flaws that caused you to be in those situations that you needed all of those Jackson Merrill game time yep. or go-ahead home runs in late innings. All those walk-off wins that they had last season, all those extra inning wins. How many, what are they, like 11-0 to start the yep. season in extra inning games? All those things papered over a little bit the fact that, yeah, the fundamentally, though, for the first nine innings, they were, you know, oftentimes a very mediocre team that found ways to win games.
Yeah.
This year, you haven't really seen a lot of that.
Right.
There hasn't been spectacular comebacks, big home runs late, like very few of them
very
all
few.
Year long, and yet here they are. Gonna
cruising, yeah.
make it into the playoffs.
With two weeks left.
Probably going to end up winning four or five games less than last year, but it doesn't really matter because you're in the playoffs.
Right.
And you've yet to break out any magic, you know, canisters,
magic wand,
you know, for the team. I mean, you haven't gotten any of it.
That sounds like, you know, my kind of tongue in cheek saying of walk off wins kind of suck because more often than not, that means somebody blew a save.
Yeah.
Somebody, you choked away a lead. Like overall,
you didn't perform.
You were losing the whole game
yeah.
and then you put it together True. At the end and you went, you're always happy with the win, of course.
You love it. It's a great moment
but
for you.
In the moment, it's awesome. It's like a drug. You're like, that was great.
Yeah.
But you're like, how did we get there though?
It runs out.
Right.
You know, the drug runs out.
You were up 4-2 in the top of the ninth, and then you give up a two-run home run. Yeah, that walk-off's great.
You're like, woo!
Yeah, if magic was something you could bottle, last year's team rallies from the 2-0 deficit to the Dodgers late in the game in Game 5. Someone hits a big, Jackson Merrill hits a big three-run home run,
yep.
you know, off of Blake Treinen or whatever, and they go on and they win the World Series. But magic is not something that you can count on, really, any time, in regular season or postseason. And it ran out a little bit last year. They were a good team last year. They were a very good team that people beyond us, beyond Padres fans, all thought, very good team that could have or even should have won the World Series.
I just, I don't know, man.
I don't think this year's team is that different from last year's team.
You know, I think we talked to Darren about this. We'll talk to him soon this morning, 7:35. He was a little creased yesterday about pulling Randy, and, you know, Mike's talking about trust and this and that. And I saw Darnay do a thing, too. He was talking about the trust that Mike Schilt seemingly doesn't have.
The one that I saw from Darren.
Maybe has lost.
I saw the one, he was talking about how, like, 2 days ago with Michael King, you let him just
but
game wasn't as important to win,
right?
Like, to chase, you know, pull him early
but
and chase the win.
But I do think that's a different scenario entirely. I do. I think when you have a 1-1 in a 3-game series, you're tied 1-1, and you did try to chase it a little bit yesterday by putting Wandy in to try to get the lefty out. You did try to chase it with Michael King. It's he needs like if he's it sucked. He gave up some bombs. But he's got to get his pitches. He's got to get his work in at this point. It was a. I'm not going to pull him, knowing he needs to be out there throwing competitive pitches to get the field back. So I think it's a little bit different. But I don't know, man. Like, I just get the sense, and I think Darren even said it, like maybe last week or the week before. Even I just get the sense that they know they're in. If I know they're in as a fan. I know they're in, 99.8%. They're going to the playoffs. You're telling me that feeling doesn't also make its way through the clubhouse of like, we're in. What are we? I'm not gonna kill myself to win this game against the Mets. I'm just not. I'm gonna try and I'm
not
gonna,
when you're now 3 games back.
Right.
I mean, it was right there.
If I feel it as a fan and I'm watching the game going, all right. Oh, well, we're still playing in Chicago in a couple weeks. How does that not invade the clubhouse as well?
Because I don't disagree with you. I think that's a very human thing to have happen.
Of course.
Now,
when the finish line is in sight for us at the end of the year, the finish line, I got 2 weeks off. We're going to crush the Christmas show. The show before the Christmas and holiday show,
usually
I'm like, why
bad.
Am I even here?
Right.
Like, what am I doing? I just want to get to this finish line, the big finale.
Yeah.
So I do get the sense that they're not, and I don't think it's an internal discussion of like, hey, we're gonna tap the brakes. We're not going to burn ourselves
You're
out here.
You're not seeing like egregious lineups. Like,
no, I just get the sense that they're like, we're in the playoffs.
Just going
we're
through the
not,
motions.
Yeah, we're not going to break our backs.
So if you're Mike Schilt, like,
because I don't think it's smart to chase the division right now. I don't. I think it's actually dumb.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, you know, we have Mike Schilt joining us in 2 hours. He's not going to talk too much about what their strategy is moving forward over these next 9 games. But like, is it more beneficial to try to get hot now getting into the playoffs, or like we've been talking about all morning, is it better? Would it be better to rest guys, take it easy, take your foot off the gas, turn it on?
If I knew that, I would not be here with you two.
I do want to point out, did we feel this way 2 days ago when Manny's hitting a grand slam and they're going deep three times? And, you know, that team looked like it was going for it, and yesterday's didn't. It is still baseball. And sometimes you don't swing well against
trends.
A certain pitcher. So, yeah, I mean, the trends are definitely, they're not in one of their hot periods. They've had, again, two of them. Really, two hot periods, about a quarter of the season.
Yep.
If you add all the games together, the first 3 weeks and about that 3 week period in late July, early August, they've had about 6 weeks where they played really well. Elite baseball, like best team in baseball. The record, they would have won 120 games at that pace. The rest of the year, they've been like this.
That also tells me that for 75% of the year, they've been a bad team.
They have. Well, they've been like this. You know,
I'm not saying it's the right strategy. I'm not making excuses, Alex, and Zaza can't agree with me. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you. I wonder if that's the mentality right now of this doesn't matter right now. It matters in 10 days. That's when it really, really matters.
I think Schiltz still thinks it matters. He said so after the game yesterday. Said that's why he took Randy Vasquez out. I mean, he's trying to win a division still, and he felt like that was the best way to, you know, try to win the game, was to get an out there with his lefty reliever and piece it together the rest of the way. Whether the players feel the same way, whether they care about winning a division, you know, I think the person who cares most about winning the division is probably Eric Grubner, because he'd love to get home games in the playoffs.
Of course.
Don't know. I'm sure the Padres would rather play at home, but ultimately, it's a best of three series. Wherever you play it, it's going to come down to execution. It's going to come down to how you hit against the other team's pitchers, and it's going to come down to how you pitch the ball on your team.
And
it doesn't matter where the games are played.
My hope, just like everybody's hope, is that, you know, come 11 a.m. in Chicago in 10 days or whatever, that they're ready to play. And if they're not, that's when you can go back and say that was a crap strategy and you guys blew it. Right? In my opinion. I just, as a fan, I'm watching it going, I don't care. I don't care. We're in the playoffs. We're going to get it. Like, get your work in. Try to stay as locked in as you can, but you don't need to go nuts trying to chase a division. You don't.
But FanGraphs does the mathematical.
Right.
They take all of the emotion out of it, and they just look at the numbers.
Because we're emotional.
And the numbers right say that the Padres have a 3.2% chance right now to win the division.
It's not
so
worth,
should they go balls out
no.
for the next nine games for a 3.2% chance of a home game?
And
that's pretty much all they've got.
I just think you have to try to stay sharp. You have to try to get sharper in the next 9 days.
And that's the debate. Do you get sharper by trying to get hot now before the playoffs start, or just hoping that you're rested enough?
Can anybody answer that question, though? Can anybody answer that question? Because I know Schilt will, in the next nine games, Ben, he will go to Mason Miller. Mason Miller is not going to go out there and throw 87. He's not.
Right.
And Manny Machado is not going to go, you know, 50%. And Jake Cronenworth is not going to go 50%. That's not what I'm saying, and I don't see that. But
in the chat says, so we're saying we don't care about a division win even when it's being handed to us.
It's not being handed to you.
It was.
Those games are over.
Yes.
You can't do anything about
that. That moment has passed.
That moment's gone. You can't do anything about those games that you lost against the Twins and the Orioles. Those are done.
That's why I was more upset 2-3 weeks
correct.
Ago than I am now.
Correct. I was furious 3 weeks ago.
Because it's like, guys, does anybody want to win the
West? And I don't think those games were a case of, we're not really playing for the division. I think they were just in a funk then.
Yeah.
I don't think that was necessarily our foot's not on the gas pedal. They just did a bad stretch in those games.
I can't get mad about that anymore because it's already passed. And so,
like, there's just not enough time left now.
Correct.
The Dodgers have tried to give you the division.
Yeah, you
for
didn't
weeks.
Take it. And that's going to.
And that's, you know, I don't want to say it's fine because I'm disappointed. I think that would have been cool to knock
them
great. Off.
It would have been great to win the division this
but
year.
But it is what it is. And you can't go back and change anything. But you're looking at, again, 97% likelihood that the Dodgers are going to win the division. It would take a pretty epic collapse for them to choke away a three-game lead with four-game lead?
Yeah, four-game,
essentially. Tiebreaker.
Yep.
In nine games.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
It could, and that'd be awesome.
I wouldn't go nuts. I really wouldn't. The way I think you should handle it is that you should just go.
Giants could win the next three, and you could sweep the White Sox 100%.
Yeah.
Do I think that's going to happen? Not really.
I just think try to get healthy, and then let the chips fall where they may.
And does that even matter? In 2022... We just said there's going to be no probably 100-win teams this year. In 2022 in the National League, the Dodgers won 111. The Braves won 101. The Mets won 101. All of those teams were considered dominant, like, regular season teams. And the two teams that played in the National League Championship Series were the 5-seeded Padres and the 6-seeded Phillies that year, who won 89 and 87 games. You can limp into the playoffs with 87 wins and then look like an unbeatable team like the Phillies did, you know, throughout the National League playoffs. They weren't a juggernaut that year that the Padres lost to them. They were the sixth seed. Padres, remember, had home field advantage in that series because the Phillies limped into the playoffs as the sixth seed. And there were all these teams that were so much better. The Dodgers were 111 winners. They couldn't get by the Padres in the playoffs. The Mets won 101 games. They couldn't get by the Padres in a home three-game series on their own field. The Braves got knocked out with 101 wins by the Phillies. The playoffs don't make a lot of sense.
They don't.
They really don't.
You know, somebody made the point earlier. I think it's a good one. Everybody has been a little mediocre this year. I mean, you look at the Brewers, they're 94-59. They have well exceeded expectations.
They had a losing record until almost the end of May.
Yeah, they went on an insane run. But you look around baseball, they're really the only team I would give a fair shot at winning 100 games this year. When's the last time we had a baseball season without a 100-game winner?
I don't know. It's been a while, though.
It's been really mediocre on all fronts this year. So does that give you any hope? I don't know. I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be here. Right? Like, if I knew the answer to that,
I think they go 6-3 the rest of the way they get to 100.
Yeah.
So they got a chance.
They
got
to go 6-3. Now, that would be the only 100-win team. The Phillies need to win 9 straight to win 100. The Dodgers aren't going to win 100 games, I don't think. Where is there the standings for the Dodgers? Yeah, they're out. They cannot win 100 games.
Not even close.
They can't win 100 games. Okay? They're probably not winning 95. Who on the planet thought that team wouldn't have 100-plus victories? Nobody. So, again, it's been mediocre around baseball. Every team's got some issues. It's not an excuse. It's just a reality. The numbers don't lie. They don't. Some of the numbers that don't lie for me that I worry about is where we stand offensively in the game of baseball. Like, we're not a good offensive team. We don't score a lot of runs. That makes me nervous. Our bullpen is great. It's great. We have a shot with the number one bullpen in baseball to advance. It's got to be deployed perfectly. Things have to bounce your way. You're going to have to get a timely hit here and there. You're probably going to have to lay down a bunt at some point. The trends tell me we will do that. This is what the team is at this point. They're going to be in. They're going to have a shot. I don't know. It's out of my hands.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. Remember, we're still going to give away some Padres tickets coming up, but Don't Do This is coming up next. And we saw, for the first time in baseball in the last 2 years since they changed the rules, a team make a mistake that they shouldn't have made. We'll explain.
This is crazy.
Coming up next with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, SDFatLoss.com. You know what? Last night was not an SDFatLoss.com night for me. Fancy dinner. But the great thing about the weight loss program at SDFatLoss.com is they know you're going to have days where you want to go out and enjoy yourself. Even when you are losing the weight, I went on vacation, ate what I wanted for 3 or 4 days, came back, got back on the program. I still ended up losing 40 pounds in 60 days. They understand that life is real life, and you can't live on bars and shakes for months and months and be okay. It really is not okay. They have a plan that's based on real food where you can lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days with no exercise and no drugs or injections. Find out how it works by getting a free consultation at sdfatloss.com. Make sure when you sign up for the program that you mention Ben from Ben & Woods. You're going to get $200 off before September 30th, but act now. I'm told the discount goes away at the end of the month. So if you want to lose your weight before Thanksgiving, before the holidays, you can do it right now at sdfatloss.com. That's sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben & Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. All right, I'll get us started with a huge game yesterday for the Seattle Mariners. They were in Kansas City wrapping up their series against the Royals, and they entered the day a half game behind the Houston Astros in the AL West. So if they win, they tie up the division, and those teams will be playing three games in Houston this weekend. If they lose, they're a game behind. So this is huge. Close game. It's 1-0, top of the eighth inning. Mariners batting. Nobody on, one out. Dominic Canzone hits a sharp grounder to second base. It's fielded by second baseman Michael Massey, throws to first. Two outs, right? Wrong. The Mariners call for a challenge, not because the play at the first base was close, it was not. They say that Massey violated MLB's shift rules.
Wow.
Because he was on the grass to start the play. Now, this rule was implemented two seasons ago, at the start of last season, and it has not once been called on anyone in the entire, you know, how many thousands and thousands and thousands of plays have there been without an infielder lining up in the wrong spot? But they went to the review and they saw that, yes, one of his feet, the back heel, was on the grass. You have to have both of your feet on the dirt now as an infielder when the play starts, or you are in a shift violation. And that resulted in an error, Canzone being awarded first base. He would then score on a two-out double, made it 2-0. The Mariners go on to win the game. Don't know if it changed the outcome, but it's amazing that everybody else has been able to do this the entire time. But Michael Massey became the first to have that don't do this moment of being called for a shift violation in Major League Baseball.
I thought we would see it more, you know, when they announced that they were going to be doing it. I thought that that would be something that we would see.
Well, so they changed the rule this year that it's now an error and the guy gets first. It used to just be a ball, like, before the play. I think there was a couple of those last year. And so people were saying that Xander had it called on him. But it was just a ball and they just throw the pitch again. Now it's an error and the guy gets first base. So that's I think that's the difference.
Huh. Wow. Something to watch out for in the playoffs.
Yeah, well,
you know?
No one's ever done. You should be able to feel like grass versus dirt. Yeah, well, you should know that's a bad mistake.
What
that's
an advantage his heel being on the grass was for him in that play.
It was a hard hit ball. It helped him be
maybe for a split second.
But it's different. Remember, guys were lining up 5 yards into the outfield.
Manny played right field.
Yeah, back before the shift rules changed.
Very, very odd.
That was bizarre to see Manny. In right field.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, think about all the changes in baseball. Is that one you guys miss a lot? I don't. Nope. I think that's fine. I like guys kind of where they're supposed to be.
It was like every other batter. Manny was just
running,
jogging from third all the way to shallow right field.
It was just awful.
It was
just
weird.
An awful, weird thing. It worked. It worked a lot, to be honest. But now here's the Tom Brady story, being in the booth, the conflict of interest. It's funny. It's a funny story. It's the NFL. Are they going to bend the rules for a broadcaster that also is a team owner? What kind of information are other teams giving them? This is pretty funny, though. Las Vegas Raiders offensive coordinator Chip Kelly is adamant, guys, that Tom Brady does not have a huge role in the team's game planning processes. He said, when they talk ball, it's pretty generic. Now, Peter Schrager reported during Monday Night Football that Brady we'll talk with Chip Kelly 2 to 3 times a week and occasionally goes over the game plans with the assistant coach. But Chip Kelly said, no. We're actually supposed to sit here and believe that Tom Brady does not give Chip Kelly ideas, bounce ideas off of him, let Chip Kelly bounce ideas off of him based on the next week's opponent, based on his multiple Super Bowl wins, Tom Brady the GOAT. He says, look, We spent a lot of time over the summer. We just talk ball. That's it. I just use them as a resource. And hey, when you faced a Mike Zimmer type of defense, what did you do, what did you like protection wise and play wise? So this is going to go on and on as long as Tom Brady continues to do all of these jobs. But we are actually supposed to believe, Ben, that he is not helping the Raiders, Chip Kelly, do offensive
it
game plans.
It doesn't really pass the smell test.
It doesn't. It really, really does. Yeah, Chip Kelly's source. Trust me, bro.
I mean, if Tom Brady is there in a meeting, he sees something like obvious that the Raiders should be changing. Is he?
And believe me, he will see it.
He will see it.
Zone defense. <Yeah. laughs>
Three more. I mean, really.
Blitz.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's like me during
Tom Brady
real or fake.
Say anything.
Yeah. It's like me during real or fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
I'm excited about this for next week. So the Ryder Cup is coming.
Can't wait.
To Bethpage Black. It's going to be probably the most insane golf competition of our lifetime.
Yeah.
The New York fans, it's not like a regular tournament for the U.S. cheering against the Europeans. It's going to get rowdy and wild and loud.
And a little ugly, maybe.
And
yeah.
The do this, I'm excited about this, because NBC, who's going to be broadcasting it with their legendary producer, Tommy Roy, says, you're going to do things a little differently. Normally in the U.S.
Jelly Roll is going to be in there. He's going to be calling
now, normally we watch sports, and we're very neutral. Like, Joe Davis, even if he's the Dodgers announcer, is supposed to be impartial when he's calling the World Series. You can believe it or not, but the at least the expectation from his producer is, yeah, you call it neutral. They're not going to do it that way. They're going to have what they're calling a very partisan booth, broadcast booth, with one analyst representing America.
I love it.
And then another one representing Europe. So it'll be Nota Begay versus Nick Faldo in the mornings, and then the afternoons will be Brad Faxon against Peter McGinley.
Against.
And they'll be
yelling at each other.
And they'll be like arguing like during, it's going to be more like a European style, a lot more homeristic. From,
and cheering.
Yeah, cheering.
Cheering against.
Cheering, like outright cheering for their teams. And they said, that's not how we're always going to do it. But for this Ryder Cup, we're going to try it with a very partisan style broadcast. Now, you know, we listen to team broadcasts. Even Jesse, you know, you certainly know he's cheering for the Padres when you listen. But for the most part, he's trying to be fairly neutral. And I mean, do we want Homer broadcasters or not?
Yes.
You do.
Oh, in the Ryder Cup?
In the Ryder Cup,
100%.
Yes. Like all the time?
Look, we talk about it every year at this time. We're going to go to the playoffs. And I have to hear A.J. Pierzynski call games. Right. I don't want to. I want to hear Mudd and Don. I think it's garbage.
The team that has the home field advantage in a playoff series, that's the broadcast you get.
Yes.
Even for like the away team.
Of course.
Like on those, and that's your incentives.
Those Roku baseball games, they'd have one broadcast from each team. Like Mudd went with, you know, the Tigers broadcast, whoever it was. But they still acted like they were a booth together.
Correct.
They didn't fight with each other.
They didn't fight with each other.
And this is supposed to be where they're kind of like fighting with each other on the air, which is going to be different.
I like a homeristic broadcast. I do. And the worst part of making the playoffs is that you don't get to hear your guys that you spent every single night with, whether it's Jesse or Tony or Mudd and Don.
I haven't heard Don's, like, TBS games, because I'm usually watching the Padres game, even if he's not on. But does he, like, if he's playing, you know, he's calling the...
Yeah, he gives it.
The Philadelphia game. Is yeah. he into a sea of Philadelphians?
I think he gives it, I think he gives it a Don Orsillo-like performance.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I think there's a little extra.
Do we, what's the deal for the playoffs? Is it going to, am I, is it...
I believe the National League this year is TBS because it was Fox last year, obviously. Okay. We had Joe Davis last year, so they alternate. So I think the National League, it's ESPN in the wild card round, and then I believe it's TBS after that.
Okay.
I don't quote me.
All right, I won't quote you.
That's what I believe is how it works. And that's don't and do this for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We got Darren Smith coming up, but before that, let's give away the tickets right now. Two tickets to Monday's Padres game against the Milwaukee Brewers. The first 40,000 fans will receive a Luis Arise bobblehead. La Recadera. The last bobblehead giveaway of the season. Get more info at Padres.com/giveaways, but we're just going to give it to the sixth caller right now at 833-288-0973. Dial now, 833-288-0973. Win your tickets to the Luis Arise bobblehead game on Monday against the Milwaukee Brewers. And we'll talk to D. Smith in just a moment here on 97.3 The Fan.
Love it. Quickly, happy Friday, guys. It is Woodsy. If you're trapped in that high-rate mortgage, if you're watching your hard-earned money vanish every month, stop. Right now at Loan Pronto, they're delivering the lowest mortgage rates in 3 years. Their rate reduction home loan program, streamlined, low-cost way to slash your house payments by hundreds of dollars a month. Lock in a fixed rate as low as 4.99% APR. Close in as little as 2 weeks. No appraisal needed in most cases. Here's the kicker. You can even skip your next two house payments entirely. Do not wait. Rates this low will not last. Call Loan Pronto now for your free no-obligation quote. Loan Pronto is amazing. Lower payments, more money in your pocket, and a fresh start. With a better mortgage, call 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com to get started. Lock in your new low rate. Skip those next two payments. Don't let high rates hold you back. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com right now. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 97 through the Fan, also brought to you by the Adams Avenue Street Fair. The San Diego Foundation presents the Adams Avenue Street Fair, September 20th and 21st. That's this weekend. Free, family-friendly festival in Normal Heights featuring 75 musical acts, carnival rides, beer, gardens, festival foods, and 300 unique exhibitors. All right, Darren Smith is standing by. We didn't really talk about SDFC's game against Tijuana earlier this week. I know it wasn't really the starters who played, but it was a good crowd. We can talk to Darren about that in the big game against Atlanta coming up tomorrow. We'll do that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And as we welcome Darren Smith in, Darren, we've been trying to become new soccer fans this year. And one thing that I am having trouble getting my mind around are these friendlies, because they're more than, it's not like a spring training game in the middle of the season, like if the Padres played one that didn't matter at all. But again, it also doesn't count in the standings. And I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to care about a game like on Tuesday when they're not using all their starters. But hey, a lot of good crowd there, and seemed like there was a lot of excitement as well.
Yeah. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias,
my friends. Yes. That was for our pal Caesar, who wanted me to start speaking Spanish on the broadcast today as he's driving Natasha to work. No, I mean, listen, I think it confuses a lot of people, but 29,700 or whatever the crowd was on Tuesday night, it was a lot of fun. Like, it was really just a lot of fun. And they did, you know, they did turn this into a friendly competition at least. So, you know, there is a little bit of stakes, a little bit of territorial bragging rights between Club Tijuana and San Diego Football Club. It's called the Baja Cup. I thought it was actually a pretty smart, well-designed trophy. I thought it looked a lot better than just some piece of tin like we've seen in some of these competitions. So, yeah, regional bragging rights, especially for two clubs now that are going to be sharing the area. I think, both sides were into it. You're right. They weren't the A players. We didn't see designated players. We didn't see some of their star players. But it was competitive. It was getting testy in the second half. We saw some yellow cards, some bookings. So, and it was fun. And I think everybody walked out of the building saying the same thing. That was just a lot of fun. Like, it was a good celebration of the sport in the area. And we're looking forward to it again next year.
And you've got what, Darren? Is it four regular season games left?
Four. Yep.
Four left.
This week, Atlanta, one more home game. That's next Saturday against San Jose. And then back-to-back weeks on the road to finish it up.
You know, it's interesting, too, the parallels. This team is going to make the playoffs. They're in the playoffs, right? And we have this debate all morning. I don't know if you've listened at all, but about what's the right way to manage this. Now, I know they're two completely different sports, baseball and soccer, but what is the right way for Mikey Varus to do? I have a feeling Mikey Varus is not going to take much foot off of any gas pedal, just having followed him this season. Mike Shildt probably is taking a foot off the gas pedal a little bit,
right,
but what is, in your opinion, the best way for SDFC to move forward the last regular season games and get into the playoffs and actually do some damage?
Well, you're right. I mean, there are some interesting parallels that you can draw. For SDFC, they're still top of the Western Conference standings.
Yeah.
So they are trying to protect that. But, it's interesting. Because I was thinking about it against Minnesota United, down 3-0, very late into that match, and Anders Dreyer and Chucky Lozano are still in the game. And, it goes into the fifth minute of injury time, and they end up scoring a goal, which made it more cosmetic looking, right? Losing 3-1, I guess, looks a little better than 3-0, but not really. But those guys were still in the game, and I did want to ask Mikey about that this week, but the schedule was a little bit crowded, so I didn't get to it. But I wondered if he thought, like, maybe now I got to think about playing the long game here, and I got to think about getting a guy like Lozano out of this match. But he didn't. And obviously you were never going to play him Tuesday against Tijuana, but if you find yourself in a similar situation to that, how much of it now is preparing for the postseason?
Right.
I think where I get confused with the Padres over the last couple of days, I get so much of my information from Kevin Acey.
Yes.
And 2 days ago I'm reading the Daily. And his daily newsletter, and Mike Shildt saying that was like a playoff game. And then today, the first words in the Padre Daily, it's like Fernando Tatis saying these are not playoff games. So I don't know. Are they just playoff games when they win?
Yes.
And they're not playoff games when they lose?
You got it.
Is it a playoff game if it's Randy Vasquez, but it's not a playoff game if it's Michael King because we need to lengthen him out? Good luck to you guys a little later on today is what I'm saying.
But the question is, do they know? Like, do they know? I said earlier, from my perspective, Darren, I have my DMs blowing up yesterday. Oh, people furious about the 6-1 loss. And I watched it and I went, all right. I didn't care. I don't care about these next nine. I don't care.
You're just locked in on a five. You're just saying,
yes, should I care?
You're right, though, because the division is gone.
It's gone.
Right? Like, the division very much
It was a different story 2 weeks ago.
3% chance to win the division. I don't care. I don't. But, I just.
But it wasn't gone on Tuesday, right? Like, it was not gone on Tuesday. And I certainly understand why you're going to pitch Michael King. I understand why you need to lengthen him out. But. Essentially, you kind of punted away the division when you said this is more important.
Right.
But where you get confused is that didn't seem more important yesterday in getting Randy Vasquez out. Mike's like post-game talking about how he's counting outs, which is very much a postseason thing to do. So I don't know, man. Like, it just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of confused. But for SDFC, I do wonder that. Like with four to go, and Mikey has talked a little bit about Mikey said, we need to find the things that we think might hurt us in the postseason and start addressing them now, because the time that you have between the end of the regular season and the start of the postseason isn't long enough to correct some of those things. But, it is fun to watch both of these things and try to see how these managers, how the wheels are spinning in their heads.
But Darren, isn't soccer a little different from baseball in that most Most people care more about the regular season champion. Most leagues, they don't even have playoffs in soccer. English Premier League, you win the regular season title, you're the champion. Now, that's not the case in MLS, but it feels like the first place team that carries more weight. If you win the most games in the regular season in baseball and lose in the, you know, division series, you're a joke in baseball. But in soccer, I don't get the sense that they feel that way, that there's more respect attached to a regular season title, maybe even than a playoff title.
Yes and no. I mean, they do give you something for it. You know, it's called the supporter shield, and you know, it's a real trophy, and it comes with benefits. I think we've talked about how if you win this, you get to go to the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which is an international tournament. You also can do that, by the way, finishing with the most points in the Western Conference. So still something for those guys to be considerate of. But, you know, I asked Landon Donovan about this. You know, I said, did the supporter shield do anything for you as a player? He's like, not really. He's like, I was more an MLS Cup guy. Now, why is that? Because Landon grew up in the United States and the culture of sports in the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, that's where MLS sometimes finds itself, its identity. Is it tied more to the way that the world treats the sport, or is it tied more into the fabric of U.S. sports culture? You know, this is like one of these great conversations about MLS that I kind of geek out over. Should MLS be more structured around the global attitude towards the sport, or should it be more structured about trying to appeal to the American sports fan? I don't have any answers for that. But, you know, if you go ask, I bet you if you asked half of the head coaches in Major League Soccer, would you rather win MLS Cup or would you rather win the supporter shield? I bet you'd find pretty close to a 50-50 split. Haven't really asked Mikey that. It's a good question. I'll have to tuck that one away. But, you know, I do think, you know, I've read stories where you will find a split for people that say, I would rather be known as the most consistent team all throughout a regular season. And others would say, yeah, I'd just rather go on a run and win MLS Cup. I don't, you know, give a damn if it's from the 5 or 6 seed or wherever.
Yeah. I mean, I want a ring. You know what I mean? Like, that's how and again, it's just been beaten into our
so American
our psyche,
yeah, rings culture, right? I mean, it's a Z, it's the rings culture. So, that's a big part of it.
And yeah, I mean, I just remember for years, Braves fans were like, we got 14 division titles, you know, pennants. I'm like, you never win the World Series. Like, congratulations, but.
Right.
Very
right. Well, you know, Woodsy, like you and I have been texting a little bit about this, you know, this Cowboys documentary.
Yes,
and like one of the things that really stands out to me about this documentary is like the great line from Skip Bayless. And yes, like Skip Bayless, once upon a time,
he was good.
Everybody was like a real journalist.
He was really good.
And yeah, he was really good in this. And he says, you know, specifically about Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson, the thing that made their relationship so strong is that they were driven by like the rage that they had to win championships, plural.
Yes.
Was like unrivaled. The thing you really pick up on in this series is like, especially early on, how driven all these guys were. Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Jimmy Johnson in particular, about winning titles. Like it was just such an obsession to the point where even at the end of it, Troy's going, yeah, you know, like I had to play for these other goobers and it probably cost me a couple titles. But, you know, it stands out about like how much people want these. They didn't care. They wanted to win all the games, but they really wanted to win the final game of the year.
Jimmy Johnson like left his wife and kids and was literally he was like,
I got things to do here.
I got stuff to do. I'm the head coach of Dallas. It's crazy. I mean, that's obviously you need to find a balance here. You brought up the term identity as it pertains to SDFC. And, you know, I want to talk about the identity of the San Diego Padres. It has been just I think when you look back after the regular season ends, we'll be, you know, somewhere, how many wins?
89, 87. I don't know.
You know, and you look around baseball and you go, all right, there's one team really with a chance to win 100 games. It's been a fairly mediocre season for a lot of teams across the board. All playoff teams have the exact same worries. Some is bullpen, some is offense, some is starting pitching. We have a couple of those. Have we found our identity this year as the San Diego Padres? What is their identity? I don't know that you can put a finger on it.
Maybe bullpen. By the way, can I take this brief moment to pat myself on the back?
Yes.
I think at Cactus Jack's, was that where we were? Where you guys were opening day?
No, we were at Baja Ricks.
Baja, okay, I'm sorry.
Cactus Jack's is in Arizona.
Yeah.
All right, well, close enough. I think I said 88. I felt pretty good about that the other
day. Did you say 88?
I did. Yeah, check the tape.
I said 81.
Yeah.
My expectations have been exceeded. Right. Yeah. Look at you, you shill. I had him at 500.
I know, you know, just another corporate lapdog yes. on the Padre flagship.
That's right.
But the funny thing is, we all thought the Dodgers were going to be 105 minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
So we wouldn't, we wouldn't. If the Dodgers, see, this is all the Dodgers' fault.
If they had just done what they were supposed to,
we'd all be okay. Padres right where they should be, going into the playoffs. We knew they'd be a wild card this whole time. This is all on the Dodgers.
It is.
You know, making our life more difficult.
They've confused this all. Yeah, I mean, I think it's bullpen of Manny Machado, and that's good or bad. You know, I mean, I think it's just it's the rising tide of Manny. When the tide's high, everything feels like it's a lot better. And if it's not, then, you know, you don't particularly love it, you know. And, you know, it's hard to say it's starting pitching. I think you're having a really, really good bullpen. I mean, how exciting was that the other night with Mason Miller and Juan Soto?
That was
such good theater. It was incredible. So, you know, I do think those kind of moments, you know, it's hard to think. You know, anything up and down the lineup, but, you know, Manny Machado, as the saying goes, like, as goes Manny, seemingly as goes the Padres. So I guess, you know, that sort of feels like the identity. It's hard to really pick something else because it's been all over the place.
Bunting is true. It's true.
Yeah. Yes, because on 0.1% of plays all season long, they bunt. Does that really make an identity? I don't know. They do it more than other teams, but
they do.
I mean, there's often games they don't bunt at all. You know, it's
I can't remember a time when they didn't square.
Did they bunt yesterday?
I don't know. Somebody squared yesterday.
Darren, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you, dude.
Adios, amigos. Have a good weekend.
Darren Smith, Cactus Jacks, Baja Ricks. You could open Saguaro Steve.
That's true. I could.
Saguaro.
Come on down.
So we're come back. We got the second half of Ben and Woods coming up. I had the most unusual request.
This is
up there. I've ever gotten.
Yeah. This is up
there. As a radio host waiting for me when I arrived this morning.
This is an odd one.
We're going to talk about it.
I don't understand it fully.
That is coming up in the last 2 hours of Ben and Woods. Don't go away on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.